The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Well, it's going to be a fun show today. We're going to talk about all the teams in football. Tony Smith's in the studio. We'll be talking. Paul Lowry will be coming in talking about the JV or the B squad, and then Matt Carvin and we'll be in talking about the 7th and 8th grade. And a lot of kids all for football this year at Lackawanna Valley. Go through some scores from last night. Of course, the game that you heard Paul Ramo on Q92, Mineota, defeated Bold again for the third time in the to go to the state. Final score there, 34-28, and we'll be talking about that game. That was quite a game, too. And then some other scores. Springfield, team that Mineola defeated for the state championship last year, qualified, I believe, also, defeating Murray County Central, team that beat us, Lackawanna, the very first game, 20-10. Upsala, Swanville area, USA, defeated BBE 19-12. Annandale shut out St. Cloud Cathedral 44-0, and they'll qualify for the second year in a row. And their volleyball team is playing this evening also for the right to go to state, kind of like Mineota. Albany defeated Minnewaska 29-21. Marshall over Hutchinson 35-13. Renville County West 12. New Ulm Cathedral nothing. Dassel Cocato over Litchfield, 33-18. And then a game, a wild game up in Moorhead. Alexander defeated Moorhead 48-44 in a slugfest. Well, that brings us up to our varsity team. Tony Smith here with a bunch of statistics and talking about the season. So fire away there, Tony.
All right. Well, good morning. Yeah, I was down in Marshall last night and watched, or yesterday afternoon, and watched that game. Interesting game. A lot of ebbs, a lot of flows to it, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. You know, I don't know when the last time Bull or Mineota would have been down 21-7.
Oh, wow.
But they came out in the second half and really answered the bell. I think there was three possessions in the entire second quarter, and then the third quarter, Mineota took the kickoff and drove down, took half the quarter. Bold had four, five, six plays, and then Mineota got the ball back, and there was the fourth quarter. But, what a great section final. And, you know, I think last year, that section final last year between those two was the state championship. That could have very well been the same thing this year. Time will tell. You know, we'll let it all play out. But great football game here for section 5A.
You know, this conference, this section, this area of the state always does well in just about every sport. The basketball, boys and girls, the volleyball, the cross country, the wrestling, and then the spring sports as well. So maybe it's something in the water.
It could be. It could be. A lot of good athletes out here in this concentrated area. As far as our season goes, you know, we started the year 13 seniors, and then with a grand total of 44 kids out, 9 through 12, which was a good number, better numbers than what we've had in the past.
Right.
And so that's a good thing to have. And as time goes on, obviously in football, it becomes some injuries, and you hope you don't get any in any key positions, but you know, it's a part of the game, whether it's a foot, a knee, an ankle, whatever it might be. You go to battle and you hope that you can really give yourself a chance to be successful, compete at a high level. And unfortunately, as we talked throughout the year here on after games or on Saturdays, just weren't able to put together a consistency for this group. Couldn't find kind of the right channel for us to get into. And so that was disappointing that we, and so, you know, you look back and obviously you've got the Bulls and the Minneotas, you're seeing them once a year, and Dawson was rated in state this year. And so, I mean, and then there's the other teams in the district. It is difficult. It's a dogfight just about every week for some groups, and for others, it's, you know, it's the big eye on the prize. So, you know, we're hopefully going in the right direction as far as numbers go, and we need to continue to have those. Statistically, just kind of a couple of things that stuck out to me. Passing yardage wise, we threw for over 1,000 yards, and actually we were defensively we were under 1,000 yards passing. But maybe here's a bigger stat. We rushed for 1,600 yards on the year, and our opponents rushed for 2,600 yards. So, you know, you take a look at we threw for 13 touchdowns, only gave up 7 in the air. We gave up 28 rushing touchdowns and only scored 5 on the ground. We ran the ball 222 times. For an average of 2.45 yards per carry. And whether that's, you know, the scheme, the execution, whatever that is, that's just not in the high school world. You can't be that one-dimensional unless you just are really, really good at one thing or the other. We did get 14 turnovers. Unfortunately, we committed 19. So, I mean, those are just kind of a couple of stats that stuck out to me as far as our team goes. Individually, passing, Davis Patzer was 77 for one, excuse me, had 171 attempts, completed 77 of them for 941 yards. Threw 13 touchdowns and unfortunately had 12 picks. Gavin Meyer was 11 of 20 for 188 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns. He did have a two-point conversion, and he had 3 interceptions. Receiving, leading us, Dylan Keimig had 22 receptions for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tygan Allpress led us in touchdowns, receiving with 5. On the ground, Landon Weber led us in carries and yards. He had 113 carries for 370 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then we've got Davis Patzer had 61 carries. Jay Staline had 18. Keimig had 3 all prep. Gavin Mortensen had 5. Tyler Earp, 3. Branch Schomer, who was one of those injured halfway through the year, hurt his labrum, so he had surgery. Gavin Meyer had 13 carries. I should go back to the receiving piece here. Brock Bierne held 13 receptions for 138 yards. Kessler had 12 for 134. Landon Weber had 5 for 65. Gavin Mortensen had 10 receptions for 63 yards. Jax Wells had a reception. Nolan Smith had 5. Tucker Lyons had 1. Jackson Fernals had 1. Gabe Lowry had 1 and a touchdown. So that's a nice little touchdown to catch ratio.
Yeah.
And he was another one that got injured and wasn't able to play the last half of the year, unfortunately. Branch Schomer had a reception. Tyler Earp had a reception. Tanner Tilbury had a reception. So, you know, you take a look as our group. We went to something a little different this year with the no huddle. I did like the way our group adjusted to the guys coming in and out. Kind of the thought was behind that was the idea of getting more kids on the field, kind of sharing some responsibilities. When you have some more numbers, you can start to share some of that, and maybe you're not as exhausted or gassed as time goes on. I mean, You saw those two games or those two teams yesterday. They had guys coming in and off the field just to get experience and to get out there and making sure that they're a part of the team. Defensively, Caden Kessler led us in tackles. He had 54, and one tackle for loss, three interceptions, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. Landon Weber was second in tackles with 51. He had four tackles for loss. He had a fumble recovery. Tyler Earp had 38 tackles, a sack, and three tackles for loss. Tygan Allpress had 36 tackles. He had an interception. He had a forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. He had a touchdown on a fumble recovery. Noah Meyer, who was injured for, I believe, three games here in the middle of the year, 33 tackles, had a sack, two for loss. Gabe Lowry, as we mentioned before, 25 tackles. Davis Patzer had 22 tackles, three interceptions. One of them was for return for a touchdown. Gavin Mortensen, who was one that kind of came in as the year went along, 22 tackles, two tackles for loss. Dylan Kimig, 21 tackles. Gavin Meyer got some more playing time as the year went on defensively, 20 tackles, hit a sack, had a tackle for loss, had two interceptions, had a fumble recovery. Carson Carapi, who was new to Lacaparo this year, 19 tackles, two sacks, two tackles for loss, and a forced fumble. Brock Biernhill had 19 tackles. He had three fumble recoveries. He had two forced fumbles, and he had a tackle for loss. Blake Wells, 15 tackles. Jace DeLean had nine tackles. Elias Alonzo, Jace DeLean's a sophomore, got some time as it went along. So did Elias. He ended up with nine tackles. Douglas Bruner had eight tackles. Drew Borsted had six. Jesse Wynn had six. Carter Moen, who is a freshman, had three. Nolan Smith had three. Jax Wells had three. Talon Kranz, who was our starting center up until the YME game, and he has suffered a knee injury. So he was out the last half of the year as well. Grant Bierke had two. He broke his middle finger on his left hand, I believe, and right on the tip of it. So he was out the last four games or three games. Kaysen Heineke, who stepped in and played some center, he had three tackles. Cole Bjornson had a tackle, and Brant Schomer had a tackle. Again, because of injury. Kicking stats, Brock Biernhild had a really nice year punting the football. He had 34 punts, and his average was 39.5, so essentially a 40-yard average. So very, very good job by Brock there. As far as our kick returns, Gavin Mortensen had 17 of them for 270 yards. Gavin Meyer had 13. Kessler had 3. DeLean had 3. Allpress 3. Wells 1. Biernhild had 2. Bierke had 1. And Heineke, it was a squibber up the middle, and it was right at him. So he took it, and he got himself a kick return stat, but for no yards. Punt returns, Tygan Allpress had 8 returns for it was a 7.5-yard average. Caden Kessler had 6 attempts. Landon Weber had 1. Gavin Mortensen had 1. And Brock Biernhild had 1. So we are going to be having our Friday, November 22nd. We will start at the middle school, high school theater, have our presentation. And then I'm working on a place for us to go and eat and socialize afterwards. We did receive four all-district members, and then we did then receive also two honorable mention. And then the district does as well as takes a look at any of the juniors and seniors that have a 3.75 GPA or higher, and then they make an all-academic, all-district team. And if I remember correctly, we have four of them on that team as well. So we met last Monday night down in Tracy at their high school, and all the coaches got together and voted on the awards and handed out the plaques and talked about, who was deserving of what for the all district and the academics, and so, and all that stuff will kind of come out in time. But we will wait with those until we have that conference.
That'll be announced at the banquet.
Yes, absolutely.
So good, good.
And we also have some team awards.
Sure.
Those will be given out at that time as well. We have a offensive MVP. We have a defensive MVP. We have a rookie of the year, basically a kid that's contributed to the varsity for the first time. And then we also have what we call the Turf Award. Teamwork, effort, respect, and family, kind of one that encompasses all of that. We've had, I think this is the fourth year we've done that now, so it's just a little different award, but I think that it really kind of reflects who we are as a team.
Okay. Well, you mentioned having 13 seniors. It's tough to say goodbye to them, but life goes on, and this year you mentioned some of those statistics to young people. You had a lot of sophomores in there and a few freshmen, and then the juniors, not a lot of them on the team, but they contributed a lot as well.
Yeah, we have eight juniors will be seniors, and four of them were hurt to end the year, so that's not a good thing.
No.
But some of the sophomores got themselves a chance, like you said, and there's good numbers there and good numbers with the freshmen. We had our exit interviews that Wednesday and Thursday of that playoff week, and talked to them. With the seniors, and as I told them that last night and then the next day, you know, what's interesting with this group anyway was when they were sophomores, we asked them to play JV games on Monday nights, and then many of them got themselves in on Friday nights as well, whether it's special teams, offense, or defense. Heck, there was a couple of them that were doing both. And at one point when I asked them, hey, you know, what do you think? Are you really, how's this going on your body? Is this really something that we should be doing? Because you got to be careful with quarters and in a week. But just as being a sophomore and kind of that wear and tear, and as we know that this district is not, there's not many soft nights. And so they said, no, we want to keep playing. We want to keep doing this. And so they did, and I felt like that they were able to grow from it. Unfortunately, as we talked about at the beginning, just weren't able to get too many inflicted wounds, I think is kind of how I phrased it at the end of the year there. But what I said to them is, you know, it's tough to see them leave. It's tough to see any group leave. But what's really kind of fun is, where are they going to be? You know, what's their future hold for them? What are their goals? What are their ambitions? Where do they want to go? And that's one of the things that we talk about to start the year is, you know, what's a goal of yours? Where do you want to be in 10 years? You know, we always want to live in the now and talk about, you know, what is our goal for tomorrow or what's our goal for today? But I think it's also interesting to think about, what do you want to do in 10 years? And it's subject to change, obviously. You can start off doing one thing and end up finding out that that's not what you want to do, and you find a passion for something else. And that's where I'm excited to see where this group goes. Got a variety of interests in that group, got a variety of different skill sets for those 13 guys. So, you know, time will tell, and we'll kind of watch from afar.
Okay. Let's mention your coaching staff, too.
Yeah. Coaching this year, Paul Lowry was an assistant coach, as was Brock Bjornhild. Excuse me, not Brock, Mark Bjornhild. And then Zach Gierman. And Paul and Mark have been around the Lacaparral football program for many, many years. Zach is new to the program this year, played in Burnsville at Burnsville High School and moving back out to this area. He has some knowledge of football. He has some knowledge of some physical training, which we're going to, our personal training, we're going to take advantage of that. And then also in the track, he was a all all-state, or not all-state, but all-American as far as track goes.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to use him as we're going forward. And he was a junior high track coach last year.
Okay.
So that would be as far as that group goes. And then there's junior high, Matt Carmody, Dustin Koloff, and then Josh Mansky, who is in his first year here at Lac La Parle. Josh is a junior high science teacher, and he had coached some he was actually from Dawson, had graduated college, went back to Dawson, or excuse me, from Benson, graduated and came back to Benson and was teaching, and there was a science opening here, so he moved, you know, what is it, 35, 40 miles to the south, and is now an Eagle. So he's going to do a variety of different coaching for us within the district. So that is the group. And then obviously we have the youth guys that I've mentioned before, Layton, Mason, and Wyatt. And then we had the community ed stuff, which I helped out with. We had some high school kids helping us. And then obviously some parents on a couple of nights, especially on homecoming and what have you. So what do they say? It takes a village to raise a family. Well, here's our football family. It's taken a village, and, yes, and that's what it's going to take.
Okay. Well, Ron, thank you for coming in every Saturday morning and talking about the game, and rest up, get the kids in the weight room and all for winter and spring sports, and we'll be talking again in August, Tony.
You bet.
All right. That's Tony Smith on football. We're going to have to play some music before we get another coach in here, and then we'll be talking the next level down of football. And it is kind of some good news, because the lower levels, both 7th and 8th, and the JV team had very good seasons. So the future looks good, Tony.
Yeah, the JV, they were fun to watch. They gelled very nicely together, had some success. You know, they started off their season going down to Mineota, and lost 30-24, I believe, was the final score. And then they didn't lose the night, so that was fun to watch, whether on film or in person. And then, as we've talked about too, the junior high kids, good numbers, and they had some successes, and they, you know, they're figuring some things out. And it's like I said earlier, it's we're building and growing numbers, which is a good thing. Now we got to figure out how to continue to build and grow the competition and successes.
Okay. Well, thanks again. We'll take this break and come back with some more football coaches and continue on with the football program this week.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit ludvigsontiling.com or give us a call today at 320-226-7022.
Fisher Furniture's remaining inventory is being sold via online auction hosted by Rainier Auction Company. Fisher Furniture is open for viewing auction items from now through Thursday, November 7th at 4 p.m. The online auction opens for bidding on Saturday, November 2nd and closes Thursday, November 7th at 4 p.m. Item pickup days will be November 8th and 9th. Dick Fisher will arrange help for loading on the item pickup days November 8th and 9th. Visit RainierAuction.com or stop into Fisher Furniture to view remaining inventory. The auction opens for bidding on Saturday, November 2nd.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Okay, welcome back to the Culture Show, part two of the football program. We did the varsity, now we're going to be talking JV with Paul Lowry. Paul Lowry just walked into the studio. Hard to see him because he got camouflage on. But anyway, the JV had a great season, Paul.
Yeah, we really did. You know, we started off, I think Coach Smith talked about starting off against Mineota and really played them in a tight game. They ended up beating us by 6 points, I believe, but it was probably one of the closest games against Mineota at any level that I can remember, except for maybe one or two. So after that, we figured we had a pretty decent ball club, and then they continued to win some games after that. After the Mineota game, we went and played Dawson Boyd and pretty much handled that game. We shut out YME, shut out Bold, shut out Canby.
Wow.
And then played a tight game against McCray. Was tied at 8 going into the fourth quarter, but then we scored 3 times in the fourth quarter, kind of pulled it away. So ended on a high note of the JV season. So it was a good season. It was those guys and you know, just kind of left them with the message that you know, this gives us something to kind of build on, and you know. The goal hasn't been met yet, but this is a good stepping stone and something to work on for the future. So looking forward to seeing those guys back next fall.
Well, the important thing is that they get in the weight room, they go out for a winter sport if possible, and spring sport, and get ready to go again next year. Got quite a bit of varsity experience.
Yeah, we had a few kids that played some varsity time as well. You know, Elias Alonzo would be one off the top of my head that you know, played for us on the JV, and by the end of the season was getting a lot of reps on the defensive line. Doug Bruner would be another one. With some of the injuries that we had, he played a lot on the offensive line and got some reps on the defensive line as well. Gavin Meyer was our JV quarterback. He's a sophomore quarterback, and last couple games we actually put in a two quarterback formation, and so he got some reps playing varsity and actually started our last two games of the year as an outside linebacker with the varsity. So and there's you know, many others as well that had times on the varsity, you know, for some reps here and there as well. But the kids did a nice job, you know, and played well together as a team. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, when football is such a team sport. And I always tell, you know, our student athletes, that's one of the great things about football is that you're not going to find another sport where you rely on your teammates as much as you do in football. At least that's my opinion. You know, there's other great team sports, but they typically have a lot of an individual component within that team sport. In football, you know, if all 11 guys aren't doing their job, playing their role, usually good things don't happen. You know, but when all 11 do, you can find a lot of success, and that's one of the great things, and it's something that this JV squad did really well.
Okay. Well, one thing about the program this year, at all three levels, you had pretty good numbers.
Yeah, we really did. We were over 40, 9 through 12, and that's been a while since we've had that. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we had about 20 some athletes, 9 through 12. So we've kind of doubled that since that low point. And I know in the 7th and 8th grade, there was, I believe, close to 30 or maybe even over 30 students. So kind of harkens back a little bit to my first year here in the fall of 1999. You know, had some pretty good numbers. I had 20 kids on a freshman football team that year. So, you know, we're kind of kind of getting close back to that. You know, we had a lot more students at that time, but our student population is up a little bit, but kids are coming out for football, which is good to see.
Yeah, and a good elementary program?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Coach Smith has been really instrumental in that, along with some other community members, getting the kids going on Saturdays and then doing some other activities, some scrimmage-type things during the week and at halftime of some of our games. So it's fun to see those kids out and running. You know, I helped out one Saturday morning, and it's really fun to see those kids excited about football, running around, and sometimes it's like herding cats, but it's a good time and kind of gets you excited about what the future can.
Well, anything else then?
Yeah, I could just go over our JV roster. I don't know, not sure if Coach Smith went over that,
nope.
But
nope.
Could kind of talk about the kids that we had playing here. So we had Carter Moan, that was a freshman running back and linebacker for us. Mason Wood was a defensive back, played some receiver. Grant Bierke was one of our outside linebackers and slots. Brant Schomer played a little bit for us on the JV squad as outside linebacker and some running back. Riley Borman was an outside linebacker and slot. Grady Fernholtz played corner for us and some receiver. Jackson Fernholtz played some corner for us and receiver. Samerson Sepinon was a defensive and offensive lineman. You know, one of his first years playing football, so it was fun to see him out and the improvement he made over the year. Jace DeLean was a running back for us and one of our inside linebackers. Reese Foster played some safety. Gus Holm was an offensive and defensive lineman. Adrian Speck was an offensive lineman and one of our inside linebackers. Alex Nines was an offensive and defensive lineman for us. Angel Alonzo played on our offensive and defensive line. Levin Roberts, offensive and defensive line. Elias Alonzo played a little bit for us on the D-line. And then was playing primarily varsity at the end of the season. Kaysen Heineke was an offensive defensive lineman, and he actually moved up to the varsity when Talon Kranz got hurt, played center. Christian Chiquino was one of our offensive and defensive linemen. Matt Sherman played on the O&D line. Thor Hewitt, offensive and defensive lineman. And that's one thing I would say, too, should give a shout-out to Matt and Thor. You know, they put some effort in and made some really big gains over this year, so that was fun to see. Scott Asfeld got hurt right away, so missed most of the season, but was one of our linebackers and receivers. Tucker Lyons did a nice job for us at cornerback. Tanner Tilbury is one of our offensive or outside linebackers and receivers. And then one John Ramirez was played on our offensive and defensive line. So it was really fun to see those guys out. And like you said, Dick, you know, it comes down to getting involved in some other things, being a three-sport athlete, something we really encourage because that's one that you can work on developing your overall athleticism. And then spending that time in the weight room, whether it's in our morning workouts or finding time after school, in order to meet our goals, we have to put in that extra effort. So something we're really encouraging those kids to do. And anything the community and families can do to support those efforts is greatly appreciated by our coaching staff.
And the school, the student body, and the whole community is really... support the full athletic program.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's always good to see.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. You can get back into the field now.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, and we'll be talking to you again next fall. football.
Good.
Paul Lowry on B-Squad or JV football. Matt Carmody is in the studio talking junior high football after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher located at Main Street, Dawson, pick up some center-cut pork chops, $2.20 a pound. Bungard's butter, $4 a pound with purchase of any item. They're open Tuesday 8 a.m. to 5 appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. That's a Country Butcher located downtown Dawson.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. As we mentioned, we're going to be talking junior high football now. And Matt Carmody's in the studio, and you had very, very good numbers, I believe.
We did. We actually had to wear two separate color jerseys. Our seventh grader were in red, and our eighth graders were in white because we didn't have enough jerseys to fully do it. I think there was one game that our eighth graders actually had to wear the old school PE jerseys over their jerseys because the other team had white jerseys as well.
Oh, wow.
So we needed to differentiate between the two teams. So.
Maybe talk about those kids because that's the teams of the future.
Yeah, so we can start with the seventh graders.
Sure.
So we had really good numbers out for seventh grade. I think there was about 25 of these kids out. So I'll just go through the list of who we had. So starting off, we had Reese Mork. He was a wide receiver and then linebacker, defensive back. Rory Biergon, he was a wide receiver and a DB for us. Jared Barron, he was our QB for the year and then also played defensive back. Braden Olson was one of our running backs and also played linebacker. Tyler Tweet, he was our offense and defensive lineman. Keegan Culhane, he played wide receiver and defensive back. Tarek Turner, running back and linebacker. Isaiah Arnold, wide receiver and DB. Isaac Link, wide receiver and DB. Grady Fernholtz, running back and linebacker. Carson Tilbury, he was an offensive lineman and defensive lineman. Uriah Hale, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Broden Tilbury, offensive lineman and defensive lineman. Rick Ellingson, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Lucas Ludvigson, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Lucas Sherman, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Caden Peters was a wide receiver, linebacker. Xander Moe was offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Brindley Proctor, running back and linebacker. And Blake Laney, offensive lineman and defensive lineman. As you can hear, we had a lot of offensive linemen and defensive linemen, which is a good problem to have.
That's
so,
for sure.
And some big boys, too. So that was nice. We had some big boys up front blocking for our running back, blocking for our QB. So that was it was fun to watch those guys grow throughout the year.
Then how did that team do this year?
They ended up 6-1.
Wow.
So, yeah, they did really well. I kind of joked with them at the beginning of the year. Actually, I tell all the kids this. I said that if all else fails, go out and hit somebody from the other team. I said, you're only 50% wrong. And these kids took to that. I kind of joked them. I said, I don't think our offensive line ran a play right the first two games. But they went and hit people and opened up holes for a running back. They did really well. We actually played didn't lose until our last game of the year when we played McCray. They kind of... I think our kids came out and, we were 6-0. Thought we maybe would just run them over, but then McCray gave us a fight and we ended up, had a nice little battle on our hands and kind of traded some scores at the end. And yeah, they ended up coming up on top. But it was a good year for the seventh graders, that's for sure.
And that's the first time that they put on the uniforms?
Yeah, so that's the first time that they've actually got to put pads on, strap it up, put helmets on, and hit somebody. I always joke every year, it's like the first game I'm helping these kids put their pads on. It's like my two kids I have at home having to help them get dressed. It's like, here you go, let's do this, do that. And but after the first game, then they figure it out.
Right. Good job. And then the eighth grade.
Yeah, so for the eighth grade side, again, we had some good numbers out. I think we had everybody that was out last year came back out this year again. I think we added one or two kids as well. So I'll just run through them.
Sure.
So Torgan Johnson, he was a wide receiver, defensive back. Colden Heineke, running back and defensive back. Griffin Kranz was our QB and then defensive back. Caden Ludebauer, he was an offensive and defensive. Smith, wide receiver, linebacker. Parker Kaloff, running back and linebacker. Ryan Bierke was one of our tight ends and linebacker. Samarkson Sepion, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Nick Hoffman, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Dane Nicholson, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Tyson Onspot, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Martin Emmis, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Skylar Tracy, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Aaron Bond was a wide receiver, cornerback, and then Mason Torgerson was a DB and a running back. So, again, we had some good linemen here, too.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But, yeah, they ended up, I think it was, we were 3-4 on the season. So, they, eighth grade, I think it's kind of a tough year because for some schools, because that's kind of where you can get the big size differences in kids. And we had a couple smaller guys that had to play offensive line, and then we played some teams that had some bigger kids. But, I mean, we were in every game, played everybody tough, got some good wins at the end of the year. Like I said, we were in most every game. I don't think we were kind of out of any game at any time, so...
You play basically the same teams that the varsity plays?
Yes. So we would play them usually the game at like the Tuesday after the varsity did. So varsity would play a Friday. We'd play them on Tuesday. So we played, I think the only game that was different is we had Lakeview at the beginning of the year when our varsity had them at the end of the year, and then we did not have Mineota on our schedule this year. So we only had 7 games this year. Okay. In the past, we've had 8. But
okay. Well, the key now is to go off for other sports.
Correct, yep.
And especially now, maybe in eighth grade, they're starting to mature a little bit more to get in that weight room and,
yep.
and lift not real heavy stuff, but yep. good reps and that, and then come back out and bring a friend with you next year.
Exactly, exactly. This year we really tried to get in the weight room at least one time a week to try to get with the kids. Just, you know, some kids are familiar with it, some kids weren't familiar with it, but just get them in the weight room, get them lifting some weight so they're familiar with the weight room, they feel comfortable going in there, as well as, you know, just trying to help kind of get that base foundation for the kids going forward.
Well, I know in the summertime, when you're not in school, they probably will need a ride out to school to get in the weight. So get to know a sophomore or junior to,
exactly.
to hitch a ride with.
Right. I know I work with Kelly Whitnable, and I know
okay.
her kids used to pick up all the kids around Nassau. I think her kids were the taxis. So that's what I kind of told our kids, too. I'm like, I get it. You guys are spread out all over the place. Find someone who's older. Buy him a candy bar. I don't know. Buy him something. Be nice to him and see if they'll give you a ride out to the school to get in the weight room.
That's for sure. Anything else now?
No. That's. I also want to thank, you know, I wasn't the only coach out there. We did have Dustin Kelloff. He was back for his second year. And then we had, can't think of his first name, Mansky. He's a teacher out at the school.
Teacher.
Yep, science teacher out at the school. He was new this year, came over from Benson. So it's nice to have. Two other guys out there, especially with the numbers that we had. I know it's sometimes like we're herding cats out there a little bit when you're by yourself, and even with 3 guys, but it's enjoyable. So I want to thank those guys as well. Josh Mansky, that's his name.
There you go. And you drive by that school at 4 o'clock in the afternoon during the week, and you see a sea of red out there in various sizes, and yours
yes.
are generally the smallest.
Yes, they usually are.
But... if they know how to put the uniform on, they know how to get in a stance, and they know how to run in, or tackle and block, that's your main job to get minnows down, and then the next level, 2 levels can make them give them the plays
yep.
and see the every level is a big step up.
Yes, it is. Yep.
So keep them out for football.
Do our best.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming
in. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. And we'll be talking to you and watching, hearing your progress next year as well.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Matt Carmody on junior high football. That pretty much concludes our take this commercial program after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Brian Smith Seeds says it's time to make every seed count with AgriPartner's premier seed line, AP Select, offering varieties with Enlist E3, Liberty Link GT27, and conventional soybeans, as well as Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans in a premium corn lineup through REA Hybrid. We have a seed product fit for your field. Call Ryan Smith today at 320-226-1079 or AgriPartners at 605-874-2550. Ryan Smith Seeds.
The West Central Connection Chorus presents Beatlemania, a tribute to the Beatles, Saturday, November 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Prairie Arts Center in Madison. Special guest Sound Image. Reserve seating, tickets $20 per person. Go to prairieartscenter.com or scan the QR code in the Western Guard. Tickets also available at Rural Solutions in Madison or at the door. Don't miss it. Beatlemania, a tribute to the Beatles by the West Central Connection Chorus, Saturday, November 2nd at the Prairie Arts Center in Madison.
Say to me.
Back here at the studio, just to finish up our show, that pretty much concludes the football. Remember, the banquet is in, I think, the third Friday in November. We'll be talking about that as winter sports come along. But Paul Ramo has got a busy day as well. So, Paul, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we got the state cross-country coverage this afternoon from the University of Minnesota. Tony Arata's covering the state cross-country meet for us. The girls will run at 2:30, and the best of luck to the Camby Mediota girls team. And Bryn Glagey from Lacapral Valley Dawson Boyd will be running at 2:30. And 3:15, we've got Gavin Carl from Dawson Boyd, Lacapral Valley, and we're also following Caden Vanderwall from the Ortonville Trojans. Sure. So going to be a fun meet this afternoon.
Yeah, and the only bad thing is that they're the last two races in the golf course. Might be chewed up a little slippery.
Yeah, I don't know if they got any rain down there, but that wouldn't be good either.
They got snow on the day before. So. Yeah.
And then tonight is the Section 3A Volleyball Championship. The Mineota Vikings will be taking on Westbrook Walnut Grove, who surprised Russell Tyler Ruthen the other night, defending state champions. So good match that starts at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So a lot of section sports, state sports here on Q92 this afternoon.
Yeah, people could drive to Marshall to watch that as well. So
got a joke.
Okay, we'll finish out the week.
1 minute.
Okay, we'll finish out the week with Dick Newman sick joke of the week. Kind of told this one to Paul earlier. A woman walked into the kitchen and found her husband stalking around with a fly swatter. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Hunting flies," he responded. "Oh, killing any?" he asked. "Yeah, I got three males and two males and two females," he replied. And she kind of said, "How can you tell them apart?" And he said, "Well, three of them were on a beer can, and two were on the phone." So you could probably determine what if they were boys or girls. Well, that wraps up another show. We'll be tuning again next Saturday about some of the results from this past week and next week. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
The finish line is in sight. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. With the campaign in the home stretch, both presidential candidates are crisscrossing the country. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal has the latest.
Vice President Harris will rally in Charlotte, North Carolina today, holding a concert with Bon Jovi and Khalid. Tomorrow she's in Michigan. One rally is planned for East Lansing at Michigan State University. Monday, the day before the election, the vice president's dedicating it to Pennsylvania with plans to hit Allentown, Philly, and Pittsburgh. Former President Trump is also in the Charlotte area today, as well as Greensboro, North Carolina. But in between, he's visiting Salem, Virginia. Tomorrow he's in Macon, Georgia. And Monday, he's visiting Raleigh, North Carolina, two spots in Pennsylvania, and closing things out in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Former President Trump called in to Fox and Friends Weekend this morning, attempting to smooth over the blowback among Hispanic voters following a comedian's joke about Puerto Rico during last weekend's rally at Madison Square Garden. The comic called Puerto Rico an island of garbage.
Nobody's been better to Puerto Rico than me. I saved Puerto Rico when they had some of the worst hurricanes. Really bad. I brought in the hospital ship, the Mercy. I brought in this massive hospital ship. There's nobody, and Puerto Ricans will tell you that, nobody's done more for Puerto Rico than me.
Republican pleas have been rejected by the Supreme Court. The High Court has left in place a state ruling in Pennsylvania that election officials must count provisional ballots cast by voters whose mail-in ballots were turned away. The ruling is a victory for voting rights advocates. Pennsylvania is the biggest presidential battleground this year with 19 electoral votes and is expected to play an outsized role in deciding Tuesday's election. Early voting lines there have been long. America's listening to Fox News.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
I guess I would say the Packers.
How'd you do exactly? These get tougher, so hang on.
Make sure you take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking...
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and east.